And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on His Word. Our Father, we pray now for Your help and understanding as we open these pages together. We realize that You've said so clearly, if any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. We pray tonight for Your grace to be bestowed upon us, to help us to understand what it means to be fools in Thy sight. To recognize that Thy judgments are unsearchable and Thy ways past finding out. We pray that You'll help us to understand afresh that it's only as we come to You with the faith of little children, acknowledging that we're like a little child who knows not how to come out, to go out or to come in, that we can be taught of Thee. We're praying that You'll direct our thoughts, that the Lord Jesus might be glorified through the preaching of Thy Word, and we pray it all in His name. Amen. Tonight we come to a new chapter in our verse-by-verse studies through the Gospel of Mark. We also come to a new subject, and one of tremendous importance. This passage contains what is commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. The Lord gave more than 40 parables included in the Bible. And this is the most important. We know it's the most important because it was the first parable the Lord ever gave. The number one in the Bible is the number of singular importance. Everything that's first in a series is always something that stands out as being more significant than the things that follow. We read here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 2, and he taught them many things by parables. He taught them many things by parables as the multitude was gathered by the sea that day. But there's only one of them recorded. Only the parable of the sower. The Lord gave many parables not recorded in the Bible. The 41 or 2, depending on how you count it, that are recorded in the Bible are there because they have a timeless message. To put it another way, when God inspired His Word, when He moved by the Spirit of God to include in the Bible that which would be included, He knew that there were certain teachings of the Lord Jesus which were relevant to our day and generation and certain things which were not. He saw fit to include in the Bible only that material which had a universal application, a timeless application for the people who would follow after and hold in their hands what we have before us tonight is the Word of God. The parable of the sower is the first and therefore the most important of all the parables. Another reason we know it's the most important is that it's a parable about hearing. According to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Unless you understand that statement, you could very easily miss the message of this parable that we're about to consider. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Nobody can be saved without faith. Faith doesn't drop down from heaven as pixie dust sprinkled by angels. Faith is not something you find between the pages of the hymn book in church. Faith comes by hearing. That's what the Bible says. It is true that faith is a gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the gift of God is not imparted by some mystical method outside the realm of human understanding. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Verse 1 of this passage, Mark chapter 4, tells us that the Lord Jesus was preaching to lost people, to the multitudes. And He began again to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. This was an occasion of preaching where the Lord used a little fishing boat as a pulpit. He went a little ways out into the water. Great multitudes gathered around on the shore. And He taught them, as we see in verse 2. He taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. What we read from that point on is doctrine as taught by the Lord Jesus. He's explaining this passage about the hearing of the word that saves the soul. These great crowds of people had come to listen to the Lord preach. He wasn't teaching them about Bible teaching. He was teaching them about salvation. The connection between salvation and the preaching of the Word of God. The Bible says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. In verse 24 of this passage, he said, take heed what you hear. In Luke's account of this same event, he tells us that the Lord Jesus also said, take heed therefore what you hear. Tells them to take heed how they heard and what they heard in connection with the giving of the parable of the sower. I think that's very important. Because it tells us that listening involves participation on the part of the person doing the listening. The Lord said, take heed what you hear. He said, take heed therefore how you hear. The Lord believed that a man has a personal responsibility to take heed, not only to what he hears, but to how he hears it. And that was what he taught these people when he gave the parable of the sower. I was talking on Sunday night about the problem that we face in the day, in the church today, the problem of easy believism. Those who distort the Bible's message of salvation. They get many false professions. False professions, by the way, of the type described right here in this parable. And those false professions are very often a result of faulty hearing. I'm going to check out your hearing tonight to see if you have ears to hear. The Lord believed that it was possible and indeed imperative for us to take heed what we hear and to take heed how we hear. We have a personal responsibility to do that as we listen to the Word of God. The Lord also believed the 11th chapter of Hebrews. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is all about faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Bible says this. It says, he that cometh to God must believe. It's explaining the necessity for faith. He that cometh to God must believe. Now, what do you have to believe to come to God? He that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He exists, in other words. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times in people's testimonies. Somebody says, I didn't believe in God. He just saved me. I said, if there's a God, make yourself real to me. And he did. Don't you believe it? Take heed what you hear. Just because somebody gives their testimony doesn't make it the truth. You don't build your doctrine on somebody's testimony. Anybody who says they were saved by a God they didn't believe in is mistaken. That contradicts the Bible. If they're saved now, they didn't get saved when they thought they did. Because according to the Bible, no man can come to God without believing that he exists. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. What do you have to believe to come to God for salvation? You have to believe that he is, that he exists. But that's not all. The devil believes that God exists. He's certainly not saved. Well, that is one of the prerequisites for salvation. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. But the second thing that the 11th chapter of Hebrews says about the subject of faith is that you must believe to come to God that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, I don't care what you've heard in anybody's testimony or read in anybody's book. The Bible says you cannot come to God. He won't let you. God won't have anything to do with you. Unless you believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't come to God as Abel did for salvation. You can't come to God as Enoch did for fellowship. God will not allow you to come to him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But wait a minute, we have a contradiction in the Bible. Hebrews 11:6 says you can't come to God unless you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't come to God without seeking God. And yet Romans 3:11 says there is none that seeketh after God. If total depravity precludes any possibility of man diligently seeking after God, you're going to hell forever. Because the 11th chapter of Hebrews says you must do that. Not after you come to God, you must do it in order to come to God. And that's not a message that is unique to the book of Hebrews. Isaiah said to sinners, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God's instructions on how to get saved don't change from one testament to the other. He said the same thing in the old that he said in the new. Ye shall seek me and ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But how can the wicked seek the Lord if there's none that seeketh after God? It's really very simple. God in His sovereignty has chosen to provide to man the enablement to seek after it. No man can come to God except he be drawn by God. That's what the Lord Jesus said. God draws all men to Himself. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And that resolves the contradiction. There is none that seeketh after God. It's not in man's nature to seek after God. But it's equally obvious that a rational God does not command people to do what they cannot do. He doesn't say, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found," if you can't seek Him and He can't be found. He doesn't say, "He that cometh to God must diligently seek Him," if you can't diligently seek Him. It must be true that in drawing all men to Himself, God provides to the totally depraved sinner the capacity to seek Him. As I said at the beginning, all this is necessary to know the importance of this parable. If it doesn't matter what you hear or what you do with it after you've heard it, then the parable of the sower is a waste of time. It doesn't belong in the Bible. Hearing implies the impartation of information. Hearing implies cognition on the part of the hearer. But more important, hearing implies responsibility, as God defines it. Take heed what you hear. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Those words don't mean anything. They're absolutely absurd. Unless God provides to fallen man the capacity to respond to His message. Why would anybody care what they heard or how they heard it? Unless there's some responsibility on the part of man to respond. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Who said that? Was it some fool suggesting the impossible? Or was it a sovereign God who draws all men to reason with Him and to take heed to His word and to seek Him diligently? "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I will draw all men unto me. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." This whole parable is about the response of the heart of man to the preaching of the word. 3 out of 4 of these people who heard the word, did not take heed to the word that they heard. Did they not take heed because they couldn't, or because they wouldn't? I'm not qualified to answer that question. And neither are you. But the God who created man is qualified to answer it. This 3 out of 4 who heard the word and did not take heed to it, was that because they couldn't or because they wouldn't? The Lord said, "I've preached to you people in Jerusalem often. He said, I've sought to gather you to myself as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Did he say you could not? No, he said you would not. They had an opportunity to take heed to the word of God, and they refused. They refused to believe the message that the Lord Jesus preached to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. They could not come? No, they would not come. Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. And there are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Did he say they could not come or they would not come? He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. The Bible clearly teaches that no man seeks God on his own initiative. That's very obvious. You presuppose that before the Word of God is ever preached. The Bible clearly teaches that no man can come to God without being drawn of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. The Bible clearly teaches that God draws all men to come to Him. And the Bible clearly teaches that all those who are drawn will not come. God draws a great multitude of people who don't come to Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When man hears the Word of God, the Lord said it's like a sower sowing seed into various types of ground. Notice again what we read here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And tonight, we're considering man's responsibility to hear the word. The Lord said there are four types of hearers. The wayside hearer in verse 4. The stony ground hearer in verse 5. The thorny ground hearer in verse 7. And the good ground hearer in verse 8. We'll come back to those in detail next Wednesday night. But in this message, we're considering one thing. And that is man's responsibility to hear. One thing that's important to this, that I can't prove to you until next week, is the fact that 3 out of 4 of these people were lost. The wayside hearer was lost. The stony ground hearer was lost. The thorny ground hearer was lost. Only 1 out of these 4 hearers came to know the Lord. We'll see that next week. But with that in mind, look at verse 13 of Mark chapter 4. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now you'll notice that in these verses, he's setting forth the response of the hearers, the people who heard the word. Notice two phrases here in verse 15. When they have heard, and the word that was sown in their hearts. There's no question that these people heard. And there's no question that the word of God was sown in their hearts. The superficiality was nothing less than that. Nothing less than that level. It actually went into the hearts of these people. The Lord said that the wayside hearers heard the word. Not only that, he specifies that it was sown in their hearts. Here in verses 16 and 17, he says the stony ground hearers heard the word. He says they immediately received it. This was not something external. This was not a falling on deaf ears in the total sense of that. They immediately received it. It was sown in their hearts. Verses 18 and 19, talking about the thorny ground hearers, again he says they heard the word. Verse 20, he says the good ground hearers heard the word. Ground in the Bible is always a symbol of the human heart. The Lord carefully explains here in every case that the word preached went into the heart of the person who heard it. Now keep in mind that when the Bible talks about the heart of man, it's not talking about the blood pump, the piece of flesh that works to deliver the blood throughout the body. It's talking about the core of man's being. That's what the heart is by God's reckoning. The core of man's being, the center of his mind and emotions and will. And the Lord very carefully explains here that in every case, the word preached went into the heart, into the very core of the being of every person who heard it. Three of the four types of hearers did not get saved. All four heard the word. All four had the word sown in their hearts. Now let me ask you a question. But before I ask you the question, let me point out something. Notice what the Lord said in verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The Lord said in verse 13, if you misinterpret this parable, you're going to misinterpret 56 other passages in the Gospels. In other words, if you're wrong on this, you're going to be wrong on most of the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ gave the whole time He was on earth. Now here's a question. Why did the Lord give this parable? Is He playing silly games with your mind? Or is this vital information? Is it important to take heed how you hear and what you hear? Or does it really not matter? Are you just a cosmic observer passing through the scenery? There are 63 verses in three Gospels dealing with the parable of the sower. There are 63 verses for no other reason than to explain the importance of the response of the human heart to the preaching of the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to tell you why the Lord gave this parable. Why He found it important enough to occupy 63 verses in the Bible. When the Word of God is preached, it is sown in your heart. You can't escape that. It happened to everybody who heard it preached here. When the Word of God is preached, it's sown in your heart. But according to what the Lord said, different people respond differently to that word sown in the heart. Four different kinds of responses. God does not determine what your response will be. God did not send Satan to take away the word out of the hearts of the wayside hearers. God does not cause you to receive the word with gladness and then persecute you and afflict you until you reject His word. God does not choke the word out of your heart with worldliness. God does not determine what your response will be. I think it's very clear when you look at these verses that it would be absolutely ridiculous for this to be in the Bible if it made no difference how you hear or what you hear or what kind of response you made in your heart. God gives you the capacity to respond. And then He explains in great detail what He expects your response to be, what He expects it not to be. Three out of four did not get saved. That's because there are many ways to hell, only one way of salvation. Turn for just a moment to Luke chapter 8. Luke recorded the same parable with a little extra information. And it's important that we see here what else the Lord said about hearing. Notice what we read at Luke chapter 8 and verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Did the wayside hearers who die and go to hell have an opportunity to be saved? The Lord said they do. But the ultimate question is this: who does get saved? When the word is preached. When the seed of the word of God falls into the ground of people's hearts. What is the response in the heart that results in the Lord saving people? Only one out of the four got saved. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. In an honest and good heart. Matthew says they understood the word. Mark says they received the word. Talking now about the good ground hearers. Matthew says they understood it. Mark says they received it. Luke says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now wait just a minute. Am I saying that a totally depraved sinner can have an honest and good heart in response to the word of God? No way. I'm not saying that. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying that. And you better believe it. When a sovereign God says that He created the world out of nothing, you better believe it. When a sovereign God says that blood can wash away sin, you better believe it. And when a sovereign God says that He will enable a totally depraved sinner to make an honest and good response in a totally depraved heart, you better believe it. It's impossible to create a material world out of nothing. It's impossible for blood to wash away sin. It's impossible for a totally depraved heart to make an honest and good response. There's no human logic that will allow for any of those impossible events to occur. You either believe it by faith, because God said it, or you don't. It's just that simple. I'm preaching the word. I'm sowing the seed in your heart right now. And God says the only type of hearer who's going to heaven is the one that He classifies as a good ground hearer. Now what does that mean if you're lost tonight? Does it mean that you're a good sinner? Of course not. The Bible says there is none good, no, not one. When it's talking about the seed of the Word of God and the response of an honest and good heart, all it's saying is that God is willing to help you get saved. In spite of the fact that you're born into a condition in which you could never get saved without His help, He's willing to help you. He's willing to enable you by His power to trust His Son to be your Savior. Even though from the natural standpoint you could never do that. You see, it's only the response in your heart that's honest and good. It's not the heart that's honest and good. It's the response, but that's tremendously important. 2 of the verse 3 that he described here in this parable were false professions of faith. That's really scary when you stop to think about it. I mean, when you make a profession, how do you know it's not a false profession? How do you know the devil's not going to come in a few minutes and snatch away the seed out of your heart? You'll be lost. The point of the good ground here is to make it clear that there is such a thing as a true profession. If you come to the Lord honestly, as honestly as you know how, as honestly as He enables you to come, if your motives are good and not evil, as far as you know, as far as He's enabled you to know, that's what God is asking. That's what God is seeking as a response in the heart of man. In other words, if you're diligently seeking Him, as opposed to being somebody who's dishonest and deceitful, that's the response He's looking for. It's the response to which He will respond and save your soul. The parable of the sower is designed first and foremost to make it clear that man is a crooked rascal. He'll make all kinds of religious claims and not get saved. He'll receive the word with joy. He'll put on a big show, make everybody think he got saved, and deep down inside he knows he didn't mean it. In some cases, he just simply gets a simplistic understanding that there's this choice between burning in hell forever and living in the glories of heaven forever. What kind of a fool wants to burn when you can live in a wonderful place and never have any problems? But that doesn't come to grips with the actual sowing of the good seed of the Word in the heart of a man. That's not the message. The message of the Word of God is that man is a sinner in desperate need. The need is so desperate that he cannot do anything to save himself. All he can do is hear the Word of God. And with the help of God, the enablement that God gives, come to God in simplicity with the faith of a little child. To the best of your knowledge, with an honest and good heart, willing by faith to believe what God says to be the truth. No hypocrisy. No deals. No trying to put something over on God. Simply willing by faith to take Him at His word. That's the good ground here. That's the only person who ever gets saved. Let's bow together as we close in prayer. Our Father, we thank You that You have allowed us once again to look into the Word of God. We thank You for this parable of the sower and for the fact that You preserved it so meticulously that we might study these things, that we might believe it, that we might rejoice in the promises that we find here. How we pray that should there be someone here tonight who's lost and outside the Savior, we pray that as they have heard the word preached tonight, that they might take heed to what they've heard. That they might take heed how they've heard. They might, in an honest and good heart, respond to this truth, believing the promise to save their soul if they're willing to trust the Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.